This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
You said pineapple papaya in a way that it sounded like there were gunshots going off in here. Pineapple papaya.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
Beards asked us we were coming back to break. What do you want to do here? Told him I had no idea. Because I spent the entire break forming my pizza order on Papa John's website. It's a free one-topping pizza, but I'm doing chicken, pineapple, and onion, which just sounds really... I'm so excited.
Can I have one more pizza suggestion real quick?
Sure.
Morningstar Pizza in Lawrence.
That sounds good.
It's very good. It's kind of New York style.
I'm just about to pass out, I think. And so I'm trying to figure out... So like I said earlier, I'm hosting baseball tonight, pre- and post-game, on Sports Radio 810 today, right after the show ends. And so I'm trying to figure out if I can, like, delay their delivery or, like, figure out what time I can have them bring the pizza and, like... Are you running pre-game, Beards? You
yes.
are, right? Okay. Then you're leaving.
Yep.
But I got to figure out, like, the ideal time to have the pizza show up. It seems like the reasonable answer is probably close to 7. But that's 2 hours from now, and I might not make it. What if I just pass out? What if I just hit the fresh carpet in here? Then what? I just die, I guess.
Please don't. I need to ride this meal ticket.
You are on a bleepy meal ticket. This is a meal ticket to ramen.
Oh.
Fancy ramen. This is a meal ticket to very well-made ramen.
Well, I'm out.
What did you think this was? Like, leave. That's feel free. Like, if you just realized that this is not necessarily a train to the good life... If you just realized that, then please leave before the regret seeps in.
I was doing a visual gag for Facebook, but then I realized there are two people watching, and one of them is you. So I went, nope, not worth it.
That's why this is a meal ticket to ramen. If there were 2,000 people watching, I wouldn't have to buy my own pizza.
That's going to look great on Facebook, by the way.
Sorry. Beards just asked me a question about something completely unrelated. It's a good... He asked a good question. And I don't know what the answer is. But now I'm distracted, as if I wasn't already.
That's just the resting state of this show.
That's true. Yeah, this show by default
Squirrel,
is distracted.
Pizza! George!
Uh-huh. 100%.
Yeah.
Literally 100%. That is absolutely what this is. The NBA last night was interesting. I was actually surprised. I didn't think the Rockets were going to win another game. And they did last night. They needed to. It was at home. Like, they had to win that game. But now, the Warriors are the ones facing elimination, but their next game is a home game, and they're playing. And there's no Chris Paul for Houston.
No Chris Paul.
That game's already over.
Maybe.
The Rockets aren't going to beat the Warriors without Chris Paul. There's no chance.
Sure. That's fine.
I might have said there was very little chance of them winning at home with Chris Paul. But Harden was terrible last night.
They were both pretty bad.
He was 0 for from 3.
Like, Chris Paul got hot there for a little bit, but
right.
They were both really not good for most of the game.
It was like an Eric Gordon, Clint Capella game, largely.
Yes.
Which, that's how you beat the Warriors right there. Blueprint.
Well, the bench stats were like, I don't remember what it was that Houston had.
There was an incredible stat on that.
But it was a lot.
Extent.
And
yes.
Then Golden State, I'm pulling the game up right now real quick. Golden State had like 4.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Also, you talk about role players playing better at home and everything. Houston's not going to get that performance from their bench in Oakland.
2 points from Livingston, 2 points from Jordan Bell.
Gross. Also, almost didn't matter. Like, they still almost won that game with nothing from their bench, with 4 points from their bench. So the series is interesting. What's not interesting to me is if the Rockets end up losing this series, is that going to be an asterisk for the Warriors for the rest of time? Can anything happen in this series that anyone remembers? Like, if the Warriors win the series, then maybe this is the year where the Rockets got tested in the conference finals and then caught a break whenever Chris Paul's hammy tightened up. But, like, we don't remember teams that way. All of these vapid conversations about, is this the best team you've ever seen? LeBron or Jordan? Bulls or Warriors? Like, none of these conversations have any of that kind of nuance.
Well, with the injury thing, it won't matter in 10 years because, like, one of the great bigger upsets in NBA Finals was, like, that Pistons, 04 Pistons mm-hmm. team versus the Super Lakers team.
Mm-hmm.
The Lakers didn't have Karl Malone in that series. Mm. He was injured. And nobody remembers that.
Yeah. It doesn't
because
matter.
Because that Detroit team blew them off the floor.
Yeah. And also, you're going to finals, which is why I think this is even more, like, absurd the way we're doing this. Because we're talking about conference finals.
Like, next year, maybe. Year after that, somebody may bring it up. But then in, like, 5 years, it'll just be like...
Especially once we get to the point of looking at these two teams purely in retrospect, when there are no more Durant-Curry Warriors, there are no more Harden-Chris Paul Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we're looking at these teams purely in retrospect, there's no way we're going to go... I don't know.
Like, one of the few...
From the Rockets' perspective, maybe. But not
sure.
We're not going to look back on the Warriors... On the Warriors' legacy and go, man, if Chris Paul just hadn't gotten hurt, then they may have been forced to a game. They would have gone to a game seven. Maybe they would have lost a game seven to that Rockets team. Maybe. And then maybe they wouldn't have been able to get to the finals and then either beat Boston or Cleveland, whoever they end up beating.
Like some of the few injury plagues or whatever that mm-hmm. are remembered. Or like Willis Reed breaking his leg or whatever, and mm-hmm. then still playing the next game. But they won the championship that year. Mm-hmm. The Knicks did, and then there was Isaiah Thomas just completely spraining his ankle against the Lakers, and he had like some miraculous game in that they lost the series.
Mm-hmm.
But people remember that because of like the huge performance he had. It'll be different for stuff like this
because this is just a guy getting hurt and then not playing the next game.
Yeah,
this is one of the most like basic things in sports, and now the conversation becomes about will there be an asterisk? Because there can't really be a conversation about the game tomorrow. The game tomorrow is over already, right? You're back in Oakland, correct?
Yes.
The Rockets aren't going to win at Golden State with another huge night from their role players.
The Rockets played 7 guys yesterday as well.
Interesting.
So you're going to lose Chris Paul, and then you have to bring up one of, you know, Joe Johnson, who's old, or Nene, or... Ryan Anderson, who's completely out of the rotation.
And they're not, I don't know, maybe people are looking at Boston going, well, why can't everybody win with their best players hurt? But it's just so silly to me. And it's the thing being talked about, and I guess we're talking about it now also.
Like, in the moment, it's important.
Sure. Oh,
in 5 years, it won't matter.
Sure. But also in the moment, it like nullifies the game tomorrow night. Like, I'm not going to make my plans around the game tomorrow night like I will game 7 if Chris Paul's back. I would be stunned if they won that game. I don't know. I'm excited for the game tonight, though. Tonight's game is more interesting than anything happening the rest of the series if Chris Paul's not back because LeBron is facing elimination at home. Don't forget, he's been to... what is that? The ESPN promo? He's been to 7...
Yeah, 7 straight finals.
He's been to 7 straight... Finals. You didn't say it slow enough or emphatically enough.
You want to know what team knocked him out? Or what team he lost to the last time he didn't go to the finals?
Was it Boston?
Yes. And then he left.
History!
Repeats, maybe.
I mean, he's leaving. Period.
Probably.
If they win the title, he's leaving.
Probably. Unless they pull some crazy trade and just clear up all the cap space that he ruined for them.
Yes, GM LeBron James.
Also,
you remember when he wouldn't re-sign until the Cavs re-signed all of his players?
Which is, and, you do that thing. Of course, just do the thing. It's LeBron. And also, the Cleveland Cavaliers won a title. It worked. You take that. It's like the Royals are in disarray right now. You take it. I'm not going to dump on Dayton Moore or LeBron. They won it. They did the thing. It sucks now for the Royals, and the Cavs are probably going to suck next year.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever. It's fine. There'd be an asterisk. It's going to be an asterisk if the Warriors win, though. Would there be an asterisk? I don't know. Will there be? This is how I feel time. This is the industry in which you reside.
Yeah, like the fan base will have the asterisk there. Like, when the Celtics and Lakers played in, like, 2010 or whatever, Kendrick Perkins
I don't care.
Got hurt in Game 6, mm-hmm. missed Game 7, and then the Lakers got 19 offensive rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know.
You remember that as a Celtics fan.
Yes.
Right.
That's my point.
Yes. Rockets fans will remember this.
Rockets fans will go, if we'd had Chris Paul, we would have won.
There'll be an asterisk
Everybody else will go, oh, the Warriors won.
Yes. Correct. See, we're a cool individual by taking the topics and then making fun of the topics. Although Beards got very close to giving you an actual answer there. I don't know how I feel about that. It was a perfectly fine answer.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I wanted that. I don't know if I wanted that a part of my life. I think I wanted to talk about pizza more.
Stuffed crust or not stuffed crust?
I don't think
another reason why Pizza Hut is up there for me, because they do stuffed crust and they do it very well.
I don't think I ever really get stuffed crust.
I will on rare occasions. Like, it's not an every time thing. It's not like an every other time thing. It's just like every once in a while I'm like, you know what I want? I want stuffed crust. And stuffed crust is really good.
Although you eat the crust of normal pizza?
Yeah.
Okay. I like normal crust.
Most every place I will eat the crust.
It's the reason I like Domino's. I don't know what's going to happen with Papa John's pizza today. I'm getting a large pizza for myself. I don't need that crust. I have an embarrassment of riches. Although, actually, like, you know 100% that I'm taking this pizza home and then having it for breakfast the next 3 days. Ooh, that's a good question. Are you a cold pizza fan? Will you eat cold pizza?
Very rarely. I usually just heat it up. Mm. I'll just stick it in the oven for a little bit and then heat it up that way.
At least you're not microwaving it. That makes you a monster.
No. I had to do that when I was going to college in Arkansas, though.
Oh, it's the worst.
It wasn't great.
You can.
It was fine, but like it wasn't the best.
It's sad. It's a sad evolution of something so beautiful. If you put pizza, take this to the bank. If you put pizza in a skillet and drop a little bit of water in there and then cover it on relatively high heat, it will give you a tremendous reheat because the steam is heating the whole pizza, but the skillet itself is keeping the crust crispy. It's re-crisping that crust, and it is it might be the best way of reheating pizza because even it, whenever you
never done that
whenever my I don't have one, but my parents have a toaster oven. Toaster ovens are great.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But whenever you reheat pizza in a toaster oven, unless you, like, have some foil over it, it dries it out. So I think the actual best way to reheat pizza is probably drop it in the middle of a skillet, a little bit of water. Not a lot of water. Just a teaspoon. Just enough for it to create some steam and then let that bottom get real crispy.
Interesting.
Now you know. Now all of you know. It is a incredibly satisfying pizza reheating experience. I was going to say I can't believe you don't like Pizza Shuttle. I totally can believe it just because you are such
pizza
a
Pizza Shuttle's fine.
Snob.
It's just in high school we had like Pizza Fridays or whatever.
I said this.
Yeah, and it's just that's what they brought in. They also had like Glory Days Pizza for a little while.
I don't know what that is. That
it's
seems
a Lawrence place.
Okay.
It's fine. But then, yeah, they just did Pizza Shuttle for like 4 years after that, and it was just I got tired of it.
Good story, Beards.
Thanks.
It's definitely a Friday.
Yeah.
We have some Chiefs stuff that we'll talk about like next segment. And also like there's baseball. But here I'm burnt out on baseball because I've been talking about baseball today, getting ready for this for pre and post tonight. We could talk more about baseball. Duffy was good last night, which is exciting. I either did talk to or I will talk to, and I know that I'm going to talk to Brian McRae later. And here, let me rephrase this. I'm going to talk to Brian McRae later for the pregame show on 810, and I know that he is going to say that Danny Duffy did something different last night, which was that whenever he was missing down, which gives you a little more wiggle room on everything that you're able to do. Something that I'm sure that Brian McRae will tell me at approximately 6:50 tonight on 810. We've almost talked about Danny Duffy for a week, by the way.
Yes.
Because his postgame, I talked about it on the pregame show the day after. I think it was on a Sunday morning on 810. His postgame comments after his last bad start everything he said was amazing. It was just honest and vulnerable, and he was like, yep, I suck, and I just want to be good, and I want to help the team win. And it's an honesty we don't usually get from players. So I think it makes him a very easy player to root for, and I hope that this continues. Eric Skoglund's pitching tonight. He got destroyed by the Yankees.
Everybody got destroyed by the Yankees.
But that's the thing about the Yankees.
Except for the game, first game, where they won.
I will talk to Stephen St. John of the program, or the Border Patrol later, excuse me. And I'm pretty sure that he's going to say that he doesn't want to worry about the Yankees' results against a young pitcher. It's basically a home run derby lineup, which is a good point. But it's Eric Skoglund.
And it's the Royals.
Like, he's pitching for the back of rotation spot.
Yeah.
See that Steve Kerr says he feels good about where the Warriors are at right now?
I did see that.
What do you think he means by that?
He feels good by that. He feels good about where they're at.
Why do you think that is?
Because he said so.
Why do you think he feels good?
Maybe his back feels better.
Anyway, I think the NFL's really screwed the pooch on this one with the anthem stuff. That was a joke, started up to a conversation, but if we had the discussion about the phrase screwed the pooch.
No.
It's
a weird phrase.
It's a weird phrase.
For a lot of reasons.
I've talked about this somewhere else, and I've heard it discussed somewhere, so if I'm accidentally ripping off someone else's conversation, I'm sorry. But the fact that, like basically, it's a phrase for... It's a phrase for messing something up, right? It basically means they really messed that thing up.
So that brings us to the logical question of how?
Well...
Did you mess up that bad?
That's the thing. How can you make a mistake so bad
that
it's equivalent to... Again, just I want you to make sure that you know the phrase here. The phrase is screw the pooch. Have you ever made a mistake so bad that it could be fairly compared to bleeping the dog?
No, I'm imagining that's how this happened somehow. It's some guy a long time ago, you know.
I think I might have had this conversation on a weekend show on 810 at some point.
Literally did that. And then all his buddies from, you know, forever were like, oh man, you remember that one time that Johnny screwed the pooch? And John's just like, oh, come on, guys. I messed up. It was one time. And that's just what they called messing up from then and then and then. And then they pass it down to their kids. And then old Johnny's kid did the same thing. And then it's just been a cataclysmic event.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think we did talk about this because at one point we had in an Origins of the Idiom segment on Sports Sunday, I think it was. So we have had this conversation, but it's long enough ago that I'm guessing that most people listening now did not hear that. And I will do this show, this segment, every 6 months, no question.
Do we have imaging for that?
Maybe.
Do you remember what it was called?
I really thought it was an Origin of the Idiom thing, or it might have been Charlie-based, even. Look around Sports Sunday-related stuff. I don't know. I think there was imaging, but I do not remember what it was. Did you find something?
No.
Okay.
Very good. We almost certainly owe the popularity of the expression to Tom Wolfe's 1979 book, The Right Stuff, which is about the Mercury space program and its 1983 film adaptation. In the movie, when Gus Grissom, played by Fred Ward, is about to become the second American in space, his fellow astronaut Gordon Cooper, Dennis Quaid, presciently warns him, "Just make sure you don't screw the pooch, Gus."
No, that's much less exciting than my story.
Oh, yep, okay, good. I remember there being an answer to this, so I think I found it. Although Wolf was ostensibly documenting the language of the test pilots who became Mercury astronauts in the early 60s, it is surprisingly difficult to find evidence of Screw the Pooch before the publication of The Right Stuff. Nevertheless, dictionaries of American slang recognize that Screw the Pooch must have developed as a euphemism for an older military vulgarism, Bleep the Dog.
That's where that comes from!
In a book, apparently, maybe a book, called The F Word, lexicographer...
Like, actual...
That, the name of it is... No, the name of the book is The F Word.
Okay.
Like, that all, The F dash Word. Lexicographer Jesse Schildlauer gives examples of Bleep the Dog dating back to 1935 when it appeared in Jack Conroy's novel A World to Win. And there are even a couple of examples from the World War I era that refer to the expression obliquely in the more decorous and therefore more printable versions Feed the Dog and Walk the Dog. Whether the action was feeding, walking, or fornicating, though, all of these early examples are used to mean to loaf around or to waste time. Dogs have often been associated with laziness as the expression dogging it. Later on, possibly around World War II, bleeping the dog and its euphemistic equivalents took on a secondary meaning of blundering. Where did the enjoyably assonant screw the pooch come from, and how did the Mercury astronauts end up using it? Searching for clues, I noticed that the entry for the expression in a Wiktionary article had been anonymously edited a few years ago to give credit to a Yale graduate named John Rawlings, who helped design the astronauts' spacesuits. Another editor claimed that Rawlings got it from a Yale friend, the radio DJ Jack May, a.k.a. Candy Dam Jackson, who had softened Bleep the Dog to be, quote, simultaneously less vulgar and more pleasing to the ear.
And also to where you could say it on radio, I'm guessing?
I'm guessing. We gotta. I think we did at one point make an idiom liner. You might have to. Maybe if you search some production folders, we could find it and bring it back to life at some point.
Yeah, probably.
There is an unanswered question still of how
he came up with that idea.
How, hey, don't bleep the dog was like how that was like a just kind of like a mistake you could make. Like, what else, what's something comparable to that? Like, hey, man, hey, just make sure you don't burn down the house and murder my family, am I right?
Make sure you don't. No.
No?
Well, I was going to say I was... wow.
Well?
That was almost a word I used.
Have you pulled the...
No.
Have you pulled the parachute, the ripcord on this one?
Oh, yeah.
Are you out on this? Okay.
It broke.
I'll stop waiting then.
Yep. Pulled the cord. Cord broke. So I'm just, you know...
just careening towards the ground?
Yeah.
That segment was going pretty well, Beards, and then you really bleeped the dog.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Radio is a super fun place to be, and except for the times that it absolutely isn't. Also the times when you want to throw it a break, but your producer's head is looking at his crotch for some reason.
I was watching the Robin Lopez video. Gosh.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Couldn't have waited until the commercial break, or you couldn't have done it whenever.
You said stop whatever you're doing and do it now.
Fair, fair. You know what? Fair. I'll take the L on that one.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Ken Swanson has tweeted and said that this pineapple onion pizza thing has shaken him and his wife to their course. I actually am a little bit worried about my choice today. pineapple and onion with the marinara sauce from Papa John's, I'm afraid is going to be too sweet. I feel like their sauce is already kind of sweet. I might go ahead and pivot over to a barbecue sauce on my pizza today. I really like a good barbecue pizza, but I want a normal pizza. I want normal pizza today. I'm sticking by my marinara sauce choice today. But the pineapple and a vaguely sweet white onion and, I'm guessing, overly sweetened sauce from Papa John's is something I'm keeping in mind. I have another... I probably have this segment, I think, to determine what exactly I'm going to get. I'm going to probably try to place this order during the next segment and see if I can just schedule it. Because I wanted to get here precisely at the first moment that I can consume it. I had something else from the commercial break that I wanted to talk about whenever I got back, and I got distracted by the pizza thought.
Pizza will do that to you.
It really will.
Also, another good pizza suggestion, Johnny's.
Johnny's Tavern?
Johnny's Tavern does really good pizza.
I had a barbecue chicken pizza that was very good.
They do really good pizza.
Yeah.
By the slice, or you can get like the big one, just the whole one. It's really good.
I had a barbecue chicken slice there that was extremely good.
You know what I'm not really one of the dark moments of my life? I used to be a CeCe's fan.
Oh, I haven't been to a CeCe's pizza in so long.
So when we moved from... Liberty to Lawrence, we were still trying to figure out, you know, where's good places to eat or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And the, I don't know why, but I was just like, oh yeah, CeCe's is good. And it was, there was a little while there where I liked CeCe's and it wasn't the best.
I liked CeCe's when I was younger because it's bottomless.
Yeah.
Unlimited pizza is good pizza at a certain point. Eventually you have to
realize it's not good.
You've got to figure out what's worth it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm paying for an extra couple of toppings on this free pizza that I have coming today because it's worth it. I'm paying to have it delivered because I'm working. So that makes it worth it. Is it worth it to go get some unlimited CeCe's pizza? Is unlimited CeCe's pizza really better than, like, a Pie Five?
No.
It's not.
No.
Probably the same price, and you get way more pizza from CeCe's. Can we get Pie 5 to sponsor the show?
That'd be great.
I would really enjoy that. We could get different ones every week, and maybe they're our take test sponsor. Because you have so many different options and stuff. I really like that a lot. It's a very good idea. One thing we can talk about is the Chiefs and OTAs. This is very much, you know, finding an off-season discussion point to have, but we did it last night on Chief Concerns over on 810 for a little bit. We can do it again now. The people that talked or listened to, the most interesting single comment came from Patrick Mahomes and how the offense is working. And so listen to this audio clip from Pat Mahomes. He talks about the give and take process that makes up the Chiefs 2018 offense.
We have an open conversation between me, Coach Reed, Eric Bieniemy, and Coach Kafka. We really talk and try to see. They see what I like, and I tell them what I like. And if we both like something, we try to put that in. And if there's something that one of us is disagreeing on that we don't think will work, we try to get out here. We see about it, and if it works, then we'll keep it in. If not, then we'll throw it away and hold off on it.
I think that's important for one reason, really. The concerns that we may have had. What are you gesturing at, Beards?
The TV went to sleep.
Oh.
That's the one thing a TV should never have to do. Okay, I'm done. I'll get off my soapbox.
You're going to get on your soapbox to wake up the TV.
No, I don't have the remote.
Right, I don't have the remote. I'm sorry. I think that's interesting because of the concerns that some of us had. I wasn't terribly concerned by this because I think Andy Reid knows how to use a quarterback and how to use weapons in the NFL because he's Andy Reid. But some people were concerned about what exactly a Patrick Mahomes Andy Reid offense is going to look like, juxtaposed with what an Alex Smith Andy Reid offense is going to look like. And the fear is that, oh man, is Andy Reid going to try to turn Patrick Mahomes into Alex Smith? I always thought that was silly because you can turn a lesser quarterback into Alex Smith, at least for a lesser price. You might be able to turn, a Chad Henne currently on the roster. Or you go out and you draft, who's the quarterback that went
that went late last year. I'll have to go check. But you go find a, you just find a guy. It's or it's what the Broncos are doing with Case Keenum. You can make Case Keenum look like Alex Smith if you've got the weapons around him and Andy Reid's system. Also, less money invested in your quarterback means more money elsewhere. I think the Chiefs could have done that without trading up and costing themselves two first-round picks, basically. They trade up to 10, which costs a pick, and then they use that pick on Mahomes. I don't think they use that pick on Patrick Mahomes to make him into Alex Smith. I also thought that was kind of silly. But I do think that the way the offense works is really interesting, and the way that it grows or shrinks or whatever is really interesting, and Mahomes gave us a look into that there, because he says it's an open conversation. I don't know if I expected that either. I thought, if I would have guessed, I would have guessed a response there would have been, you know, coach has a lot of plays that he thinks work, and then we work on them, and then, you know, if they work, we keep them. If they don't work, we tweak them. But using the phrase open conversation there, I think is really interesting and really honest, and a good look into what exactly that process looks like. Him being able to have some say in it is good news to me, because I don't think that Andy Reid is going to draw up absurd things. And I also don't think that he's going to be completely conservative by any means, really. But Mahomes being able to say, hey, well, what if we do this thing? Maybe it's something that Andy Reid wasn't going to ever ask him to do. Or if Andy Reid presents something, then Mahomes says, you know what, actually, let's go ahead and take it this direction. Let's try one more thing. I think I can make this happen. I'm glad for that being an open conversation. And I'm sure it was also that way with Alex Smith in large part. Alex Smith, not in the same way, but Alex Smith knew what he was capable of, I think. I don't think that he was trying to draw up, you know, a whole bunch of four vert plays where he's going to just take a five-step drop and then heave it very often. But to get that kind of respect also from your head coach and your whole offensive coaching staff, I think is more good news for Patrick Mahomes, where it's an open conversation. I don't think that's true for every rookie. I don't think that's true for every highly touted rookie, even every starting quarterback. I'm guessing there are some situations in the NFL where the offensive coordinator or head coach or play caller or whatever tells you what to do and then you do the thing. I'm guessing that Todd Haley and Baker Mayfield aren't having quite that healthy of a conversation about how their play calling is going to work and about the plays that they're drawing up. I'm guessing that that doesn't feel like it's something that's necessarily a part of Todd Haley's coaching style. So I thought that was kind of encouraging. You also talked about Sammy Watkins. And yesterday, Sammy Watkins was just running around making one-handed catches and just doing crazy alien
reptile
lizard sunbeam being things. I can't remember exactly.
There was a singular there. Advanced reptilian solar being.
Yes, he was doing some advanced reptilian solar being stuff yesterday. And, you know, highlight reels and OTAs are one thing. But someone asked Mahomes about what he saw from Sammy Watkins, what he's expecting from him. And I also thought this was pretty interesting.
The first day was crazy. I mean, I think y'all might have saw on Twitter or something like that. But he, like the first pass of all OTAs, he just was running a go route and just caught it one hand. And then later on in the practice, I thought I overthrew him and I thought I threw an interception. And then it's just like he just saw a hand go out of nowhere and he brought it down. So, I mean, he's someone that's going to help this offense tremendously. And it's someone who works hard, and you really respect guys who get out here and have that much talent but really get after it every single day.
I think it's the actual highlights were crazy, because one of them was an unnecessary one-handed catch. One of them really did save a pick, and one of them just saved an incompletion, and they were amazing. Being able to expect that from one of your weapons, I just think is supremely valuable. Because I think he's getting that from Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill also, to some extent from Kareem Hunt, and now he's getting it from Sammy Watkins. The offense is just ferocious.
And this might be the other thing we talk about today, unless we get more mileage out of pizza. I don't know. The way that things are shaking out in the NFL right now, in the AFC right now, in the AFC West right now, is making me dangerously optimistic. And Seth Kizer wrote an article on The Athletic today about something that could go wrong with Patrick Mahomes, and we'll probably talk to him next week about that. And Kent, who was tweeting us earlier, has had an article a few days ago about why you don't need to slow down the hype train. Maybe we'll call them both at the same time and just let them fight, and they'll just leave the studio. We'll let them do an hour together on two separate phones. That'll be awesome radio quality. But I'm looking at it, I would say, relatively objectively, honestly. And I'm looking at it relatively cynically, which I know doesn't really sound like where I've been with this in large part. But I've been a Chiefs fan for long enough to be cynical about my football team. And I am thrilled about Patrick Mahomes being the quarterback of this team, but I'm also not... I'm not going to expect things without logic behind it. And with the cynicism and the logic colliding and then eventually getting out of the way, I'm starting to see a really strong case for the division and maybe a couple playoff games. And super early. The case at that point, you know, is far away. But it's not about the individual flaws, because the individual flaws are things that will either be heightened or diminished based on the performance of Pat Mahomes. And the rest of the idea of a couple playoff games is more based on what the AFC is made out of. The Patriots are here, the Steelers are here, and then like the Texans and the Jags and the teams in those categories, the Chargers maybe. Those are teams that you have to overlook a really big gap on. I see Blake Bortles now as a more expensive ball and chain around the ankle of the Jaguars than they had last year. The Chargers, I'm not sure what Phillip Rivers has left. They just lost Hunter Henry. The defense is good, though. The Texans are, I think, going to be a pretty sexy sleeper pick for good reason. If their defense comes back healthy, they got a couple great pass rushers, and Deshaun Watson looked great before he got hurt, but he's coming back from an injury. We didn't get a full season of his sample size. The Chiefs are just another one of those teams. So I'm not saying that the Chiefs deserve to be put in a conversation above those, like especially the Jags. The Jags made a really nice run last year. If the Chiefs this year had the Jags season last year, we would be ecstatic. But I think they can be easily lumped into that same conversation level with all those teams. And that's only true if Mahomes is good. Like, that's inarguable. If Patrick Mahomes is good, then you can have the conversation about, oh man, you know, this defense is really specialized and much deeper than it was last year. And, you know, if Justin Houston, if they get a pass rush from anywhere, really, then, man, you know what? I'm not so worried about that corner spot if Mahomes is good. If he's bad, then you go, wow, not only is there the quarterback is a rookie, the offense is struggling, and the secondary has got 1,000 holes in it. But if you can talk yourself simply into Mahomes is going to be better than most people think, Even as that becomes a pretty common national topic. I think it was Lewis Riddick a couple days ago that said he thinks Mahomes is going... It might not have been Lewis Riddick, so forgive me if I'm misattributing that. But there was a national pundit who I think was Lewis Riddick that said that he thinks he's going to be better than Carson Wentz and the whole class of these... This whole class of young quarterbacks. Thinks Mahomes is going to pass them all this year. I think it was Lewis Riddick because I thought, like, oh, yeah, that's why he wanted to interview for that Chiefs GM job. But if that's even plausible, which it is, then you move the goalposts on this in like in a constructive way. You know what? A successful season here is actually more than we think because there's a higher ceiling than we thought. It's not only a pretty... I don't know if it's an easy thing to talk yourself into, but it's certainly a fun one. And I've been enjoying doing it. Check in on ESPN. Steve Kerr used story about MJ to motivate Kevin Durant.
Is it the time where MJ punched Steve Kerr in the face?
Did that happen?
Yeah, in practice.
I didn't know that. That's funny.
Yeah.
Maybe it was.
Listen, Durant, in order to solve your problems, I want you to punch me right in the face.
Steve Kerr seems like a cool dude and a good coach.
Uh-huh.
That feels like a coaching strategy that maybe he would go for. Probably also the only coach in basketball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's least likely? Is it Popovich?
Least likely to get punched in the face?
To say punched me in the face.
I'm trying to think who's like... I'm trying to think if there's like a pretty boy rat or pretty boy coach or somebody. This, you know, like would do the,
I think
oh, not
Brad
the face.
Stevens as being like
the young guy,
the young handsome coach. Excuse me.
Quinn Snyder has the look of somebody that would just
that's not
yell
bad. Pull
and,
up his face.
Oh no, he would yell and scream at you, punch me in the face.
Right. Yeah, he's got a good look.
He looks a little crazy sometimes.
Yeah, you're right.
Luke Walton wouldn't want to be punched in the face. That's my
See,
guess.
I don't know. You're right. Quinn Snyder would. He would be a Rock'em Sock'em robot where his head would shoot up into the sky as he was.
Well, no, he's like
the
guy
face.
In the movies that will like grab the weapon or whatever and point it at himself.
Yeah,
to be like, do it,
100%, 100%,
punch me in the face,
100%.
That's
yep.
what Quinn Snyder looks like.
Yep, that is a perfectly accurate description. Who just said Luke Walton? I think Luke Walton might just walk into someone's fist. I'm doing that because his dad. His dad seems like that. I might not be fair to Luke Walton.
No.
Can you imagine that happening to Greg? Can you imagine Greg Popovich? I just don't think that's a part of his fun and games.
Yeah, but see, Steve Kerr is a Popovich disciple, so that's why I'm going with that there.
Steve Kerr looks so much. Like this was a Lebatard thing.
No, he looks
Steve
like a cool
looks
dad.
Like he looks like the young pastor that takes over a church of old people and slowly wins them over.
Fred Hoiberg's not one you punch him in the face.
Oh, I don't know. Hold on, pulling up a picture of Fred Hoiberg. I want to get a perfect frame of this.
Billy Donovan's another one. Billy Donovan's not going to.
Billy Donovan is good.
Billy Donovan's not going to tell you to punch him in the face.
I think Fred Hoiberg might be at a point where he gets desperate enough. That he begged you to punch him in the face.
Well, no, he'll
also
punch
he's the coach of the Bulls. He's probably going to get punched in the face at some point anyway.
Yes, theoretically, or hypothetically, when he gets fired.
Might just fit in any practice.
Sure. Let's see. Terry Stotts is too straight laced for that. I don't think he'd let you punch him in the face.
Tyronn Lue might let LeBron punch him in the face. He would let LeBron punch him in the face.
That happens every day.
If LeBron said, "Hey, I want to punch you in the face, coach," he'd be like, "Okay."
He'd look over at management, and they'd have to. And they'd just like
they. Yep.
They'd do the very silent, just little like they close their eyes as they head nod their head down. And
yep.
Come
a
back
very
up.
Quick little blink nod. Yep.
Yep. Fizdale would punch good. You in the face.
100%.
Let's see. What's another good one? Thibodeau.
That's.
I don't know what to do with Thibodeau.
Thibodeau's gonna punch like your girlfriend in the face.
Ooh. Spolstra.
No. Thibodeau just seems like his blood pressure's high
that's,
all the time.
Yes.
That's why I did that. I didn't do that because of some history of domestic abuse that I don't know about. That's not a thing. No, Spolstra's
another straight lace.
Yeah, he's a coach. He's coach. All right, well this has been fun.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I also have a tab open on my Chromebook that I just closed. I don't know why. Jurassic Park Builder was open. It makes no sense. I have no idea where that would even be there.
Like building your own Jurassic Park?
Yeah, I think it was like a Facebook
like the Sims game.
It was like a maybe a roller coaster
the
tycoon
Sims
kind of
yeah.
thing. Yeah, I don't even know why that was open. Never even heard of that.
Now I gotta look this up.
With Joshua Briscoe.
I mean, it looked like it was a Facebook game.
Yep, Facebook.
That's some good work by us. Nice. That was...
There's a wiki.
On ESPN Kansas City.
We have a long weekend coming up. I hope you're enjoying your long weekend. We'll be back on Tuesday. What are you doing this weekend, Beards?
Nothing, really.
Are you working this weekend at some point?
It's a Sunday.
Sunday, okay. I'm also working Sunday. Saturday, I got this softball stuff. Did you see Deadpool 2?
Yes.
Okay.
I did see that.
I don't want to know anything about it other than if you enjoyed it.
Yes. I think I enjoyed the first one a little bit more.
Okay, no more.
But the second one's really good.
Okay. That's good. I'll take it. I'll take that. Also, Solo just came out.
It did.
And
I almost had a chance to see it tonight, but I'm not going to.
At some point also. I hope that's good. We talked about this some yesterday.
I saw the review.
I don't want to know anything about it. I don't want to know a single thing about any of it. I'm going to see it, and I'd rather just see it without... This is where I'm usually at with movies in general. If I know I'm going to see a thing, I want to see it before I know what anyone else thought of it. And then just roll with it.
Also, I saw the commercial. Annihilation's coming out on DVD soon?
Yes, I did see that. I think it ends up on Netflix, like, internationally. I'm not exactly sure, but yes, I saw the commercial also that Annihilation is coming out on DVD soon. And I don't know what the experience will be like if you're watching it on a TV or a laptop. It's still going to be a good movie, I assume, but I think it's going to lose some of the fun. I would still see it, but I recommended it as highly as I could while it was in theaters for a reason. Where is it going? This weekend, long weekend, everything. I will be doing sports Sunday morning over on Sports Radio 810. So if you feel the need to get more of all of this, then you can do that on 810 at 9 a.m. 9 to 11, I think. I think the Indy 500 is happening. I should know that. Probably.
Yeah, I think so.
But yeah, I'm on 9 a.m. on Sunday, and. And we'll all get to enjoy a Monday off.
And hopefully I don't have to run any of the Indy 500.
That seems like it would be ideal to avoid.
Yes.
But I don't know. I'm also going over to do baseball pregame in a second. So like right now I'm looking at the... Yeah, Beards and I both... This is fun. Beards and I both are like the nanosecond that... The mics are off. I'm going to grab everything and just be throwing everything I have into my backpack. There's that music. It means we're on a 60-second time crunch because Baseball Tonight starts in like 6 minutes.
Ah!
That's why I was like, oh yeah, I need to find those lineups, don't I? I got to be able to read the lineups on the radio over on 810. Sorry that today's show's been so low energy. I should have eaten before.
I wouldn't say it's low energy. It's just been all over the place.
We did talk about bleeping the dog, which is a really good
topic.
No,
it wasn't low energy. It was just, we went in every direction.
It was low energy. I think we've done mostly good shows for the last like 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
This wasn't one of those.
It was a fine show.
It was fine. I don't like ending the week on a fine show. I want a big finale to the fireworks.
Hey, we had that great George call.
That's true. How should I feel about the fact that the best part of this show was a caller?
It was a good call.
It helped the show. All right, team win. All right, we'll talk to you again on Tuesday. Bye, Mom.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.